Okay, first of all, tough week. We lost Eddie Money and Rick Ocasek within days of each other. So, tough week. As two guys I really enjoy listening to, and if you don't know who those guys are, shame on you. But anyways, in the conference play now, we've wrapped up the non-conference. As I mentioned after the game, I think we're in the position we expected to be and did exactly what we had hoped, which was to go 3-0. Got to go down to the Coliseum this week, and short turnaround, Friday nighter, and so accelerates preparations, and we got to got to have a great 3 or 4 days of preparation, and go down there and hopefully play well. I mean, that's I don't know what more to say. They're a potent team. They've got a lot of talent on the team. There is no difference in their talent level now than really any year that we faced them since we've been in the Pac-12, at least in my estimation. They've got a receiving core that's one of the best in the country. Of course, the quarterback has only had a couple games, the new QB that was thrust in there due to injury. But they got talent, and so it's SC. And so there's nothing different than, like I said, what we've experienced for, 9 years now. So, questions?
Schematically, what was BYU able to do to keep
Cadell's nothing focus? Much. They had 450 plus yards, and the big deal in that game is they turned it over three times, three picks. That was the huge deal. They still got their 450 plus, ran the ball effectively, 170 plus running the ball, and so there was no schematic thing that was an obstacle. The obstacle was two of the picks led to 10 points, and the other one ended the game, and so that was the difference in that game.
You started off the conference 0-2 last year. You still won it. This is a big game, but next week's a big game. The week after is a big
Absolutely.
Game. Everything. So, how do you balance the emotions to make sure that they're ready, but they're not overly emotional?
Well, that's always a challenge as coaches. You gotta keep the team on somewhat of an even keel. I mean, you want to play with passion and energy and be juiced up for the game, but you gotta play within the framework of the offense and of the defense, and make sure that you don't let your emotions get the best of you. And so that's something that I think this team, this is a mature team. This team seems to handle their business very well. And my guess is that we'll go down there and not overreact, just play our game. So hopefully that's what happens.
Did BYU play a lot more drop eight zone stuff and Stanford more man? What was the difference in the way those two teams defended the pass?
Exactly that, yeah. There was a lot of drop eight last week or 2 days ago, and a high dose of drop eight. And then Stanford was more man-to-man, although that wasn't exclusive. They did mix in some zones, but certainly more man-to-man against Stanford and more drop eight last week.
How much do you like to just do what you do, and how much do you let previous games inform how a team needs to be defended?
I think it's a combination of the two. I mean, if somebody has struggled with something, you want to, if you don't have it in your package already, you implement it and see if they can handle it. I mean, it's the age-old thing where if just like our offense, we haven't hit movement very well, and so people keep doing it. And until we handle it, they'll keep doing it. And so you can draw upon things in each game that you can utilize if it fits what you're doing. You don't want to just wholesale change because of it, but if it's something that you have in your scheme already or something close, and you can try to test them out again and see if they've got their problems fixed, then you do that, if that makes sense.
With the next 2 weeks being an air raid offense, I mean, what challenges does that present to your defense?
Well, Washington State's still a different animal than USC. When you talk about the run-pass ratio and that type of stuff, SC's much more balanced. But the thing that creates the problems is those three wide receivers. I mean, those guys are really good. 6'8" and 21. Those guys are as good a crew, I would think, as anyone in the country. Maybe the best in the country as far as just sheer ability. And so that presents a challenge. The running back runs hard. They got two. They use the Maupiai kid more so than the Carr kid. But they got weapons. I mean, their offensive line is the usual guys. They're big, strong guys up front. They're athletic.
Coach, are you expecting to be full strength on your offensive line this week?
We hope so. We were hoping that last week, and just weren't quite ready for a couple of the guys to play. But another week, you know, of healing, and hopefully, and neither of those guys played a snap last week. We're talking about Johnny Mea and Orlando Yumana, and so we hope to get those guys back.
And then Tyler Huntley's completing 78% of his passes. How much is that just him making the right decisions, and how much credit goes to the receivers for holding on to those passes, too?
Both, and also credit for the O-line for holding up in pass protection most of the time. We don't have a sack yet, but we very well could have and probably should have had a few. But it's a matter of Tyler making good decisions. It's a matter of the receivers. There's been very few drops. But the drops he's had, I mean, those were the catches we should have made. If we make all the catches we should have made, he's probably over, you know, way over 80%. But that, I guess you never catch every ball you should catch. But he's been just phenomenal. You know, haven't done a ton of throwing, you know, averaging about, what, 18 a game or something like that. So, but the real key is he has really embraced what we're doing offensively. Him and Andy really are on the same wavelength.
You've always described USC as the benchmark, at least in the South, if not the Pac-12. What's it been like for 8 years to try to rise to that standard?
Yeah, it's challenging. I mean, they have they have their pick of the litter down there in Southern Cal, a fertile recruiting ground that they can really draw about a 30-mile radius around their campus, and that's where they recruit and get all the guys, for the most part. I mean, there's some imports, but it's been challenging, and I think we've held our own. I couldn't tell you what the series record is. It's probably pretty close to even. What is it?
3-5.
3-5. Not quite even. So we've made progress. We're certainly more equipped now to compete with them than we were back in 2011 when we came into the league. I can tell you that.
And of those four trips you've made to the Coliseum, is there a moment that stands out?
Several moments. Throwing 3 interceptions to the same linebacker a couple years back, the first time down there we had a field goal that I don't know if it would have tied it or won it. I think it would have tied the game, that got botched, and so there's been some, not a lot of pleasant moments, but some unpleasant moments I can remember.
Kyle, I realize you're there for most of it, but do you bring up the fact that it's been over 100 years since Utah's won a game at USC?
No, I guess everyone's entitled to a bad decade or a bad century, So this game, fortunately, in our opinion, has nothing to do with the past 100 plus years. I mean, it's its own entity, it's a new challenge, history hasn't been good to us in that place, but we don't feel it has any bearing on this year.
And then, I know you don't talk about injuries, but do you anticipate Julian Blackman didn't play last week?
We sure hope so. Yep, we sure hope so. Again, we had 4 or 5 guys that were question marks for last game. 1 or 2 of them played, and the others didn't. But we hope we get them all back. We'll just see how the week goes.
You mentioned their wide receivers are very talented. What have you seen from their quarterback? He's young, pretty much untested, but what have you seen from him so far?
Very composed, for a true freshman, being thrust in there in the situation he's in. Been impressed with how he's handled. He's throwing the ball well. His efficiency rating is approaching 170, which is very good for anybody, let alone a freshman. And, he hasn't made a ton of bad decisions. They did have the 3 interceptions last week, but there was some. It's just a matter of him, settling in and continuing to gain confidence. But he's got all the tools. He's 6'2", and he's got a good arm, and he's you can tell he's well coached in high school too. I mean, for where he's at right now, he came in pretty advanced as far as his level of play.
Kyle, USC is giving up 409 yards a game. That's a pretty big number. You talk about how they have all the athletes that they traditionally have. How come they're giving up so many yards at this point?
Well, I don't have a great answer. I mean, they do have good players. I mean, Jay Tufelli, a homegrown kid right here, is playing tremendously well, and the safety Tufanga that we recruited very heavily. So they got good players. I don't have a great answer as to why they haven't been as efficient as they probably would have liked to have been. I can't help you there.
Coach, I know both teams are in the same boat, but what are the biggest challenges you have with a short week like this?
Fortunately for us, we've played less snaps than anyone in the Pac-12 through the first 3 weeks, and so there's less wear and tear. And that's one of the benefits of not playing fast is there's not as much wear and tear on your players, and that's something that matters. You know, people say that doesn't matter. It does matter. And you know, you get down to week 10, and we've played 600 snaps of offense, and someone else played 850. I mean, that's a lot. That's another two or three games worth. And so, you know, so that in that case, in that, you know, with that in mind, the short week, you know, we don't feel is a huge deal for us, because at least from a physical standpoint, it's more getting the game plan implemented and getting the mental part of it down. Because and even last week against Idaho State, the starters barely played, you know, half the game, most of them. So we feel pretty fresh, and that the physicality of the first three games will not be a factor in this fourth game. It'll work in our favor, but you still got to get the new game plan elements implemented and repped in practice. That's the bigger challenge.
First time in 4 years that six Pac-12 teams are ranked. Is that, are you kind of pleased with the depth of this conference is being rewarded?
I don't really care about the depth. I care about us. And so it's nice to see, I guess, that we're getting national recognition, but we just got to, you know, we got to go through our schedule and play them all, and don't really pay a whole lot of attention to the rankings until you get to about mid-year, in my opinion. You don't have a great perspective, and I've said that over and over, and I think that's probably why the college football playoff committee doesn't start till around mid-year, because it takes some time to get things sorted out. So, but for at this point in the season, to have six ranked, yes, that's a positive for the conference.
For years when you were in the other conference.
What's with the shades?
Your future is so bright.
Okay, all right. Set myself up for that one. Right.
For years.
Your train of thought?
No, never.
Okay.
For years, when you're in the other two conferences, if you had a game like this, it was such a big deal for exposure and recruiting. Well, now you're in the Pac-12, and you have several of these. This is a Friday night, though, and no other games are on. So how much of it is a big deal for exposure and recruiting compared to, like, where it used to be?
Yeah, it certainly matters. It matters a great deal, and you're right. We're under the spotlight this Friday, and like our own team, we play Saturday games. We're in the hotel Friday night watching the game that's on. You know, the whole country's going to be watching. And so it's important you play well, and you know, your brand is out there and getting exposure, and so that's a positive. But like I said, you gotta play well, which typically we've had some pretty good showings in those situations.
You got to play a lot of guys who are backups in the second half of that Idaho State game. Did any guys emerge or maybe really solidify in a place where, like running back, you've been using multiple guys?
Uh-huh.
And if so, who are those guys?
So did anybody of the backups give a good showing? Is that what you're asking?
Give a good showing and kind of change the way you'll use them going forward based on what you saw.
Okay, good question. R.J. Hubert played very well at the safety spot in place of Julian Blackman, and that was his first extensive playing experience as a safety. He was predominantly an offensive player in high school, so gained a lot of confidence in him and what he did, and being able to use him at either safety, really, if we need to, free or strong. Jordan Wilmore did some good things at running back, as did Devin Brumfield, and DHC got some carries. So, you know, they all three ran hard and protected the football. I'm trying to think, Simi Mawala, who's spent the last 2 weeks at tackle due to the injuries, has really played well, you know, overall. And that's he's just a redshirt freshman, he was a D lineman in high school, so O-line's new to him. And so he proved that he can hold up and play good football. Trying to think who else. Simi's the guy that really got the opportunity on the O-line, because Paul Tawala took over for Johnny full-time where they were splitting time, so there was really no new face there. Samisi Lawaki, he's going to be a really good defensive lineman, the one that got the targeting call, I guess, the targeting call that I didn't see a lot there. But he really showed up, and you know, we'll probably with the glut of tackles that we have, most likely try to keep him under that five game threshold so we can not count the year, but he did a nice job as well. And Fua Pututau, number 50, the defensive end that is the fourth end. You know, we have Bradley and then Mika and Max, then he's the next guy up, and he got some good reps too. So
on Saturday, you kind of talked about the running backs maybe not getting as much as you would probably hope for. How much of that is probably, you know, just the depth at offensive line right now, not having your starters, and maybe just not even opening up the playbook as much as you probably expect?
Well, the playbook continues to grow. I mean, I shouldn't say grow, but get installed. You know, it's still not at 100%, but the playbook is has been expanding each week. I just thought there were some times we could have maybe hit it a little harder in there with those other three backs, the non-Zach Moss guys, and that'll come, you know, with experience, and they'll figure it out. Jordan Wilmore especially, he's just barely out of high school, so he's got a lot of growth that'll take place. But we're high on those guys. We think we got a good running back stable, and a lot of those guys are young. And Makai Bernard is also going to be a really good player. He's another guy that we're trying to get that redshirt year for.
And Kyle, I want to talk sex if we can for a minute.
Sex?
Sax.
What do you say?
Saxophone.
Oh, sax.
Yeah,
sax.
What do you think?
Talk sax. Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I can't go home. Thanks. Hey, I'm going to ask you about the fact that you guys haven't given up a sack yet. Is that the O-line? Is it Tyler? Is it a combination?
Combination, because, like I said, there's been a handful of times that a quarterback not as athletic as Tyler would have gone down or would not have escaped. And so Tyler's done a nice job of, at least three or four I can think of. Maybe there's five or six over the course of the three games. But he's done a nice job having pocket awareness and sensing the rush and feeling it and getting himself out of some jams. And not only to get out of a jam and run, but he's also got out of some jams and found open receivers, which you like to see. You don't want to see a guy just scramble and automatically run. You know, it's nice to keep his eyes downfield as he's moving and try to find someone downfield, which he's been able to do.
And then on the other side of the ball, Bradley and I had the three sacks a couple weeks ago. And he said he'd like to be the next mayor of Sack Lake City. Do you support that candidacy?
Yeah. I don't know who's been the mayors in the past. Hunter Demick was the mayor? Okay. But Bradley is, he's going to take some work, but he has a chance to threaten that all-time sack record here at Utah. And he's definitely within... it's within reach, but he'll have to have a very good year, which we hope he does, obviously. And he's off to a pretty good start.
Anything else?
One more history question. As a child, do you have any memories of being around the Coliseum in the Rams days?
I was so young when my father played there that I don't really remember that, and I wasn't a child, but when he was coaching for the Rams, I got to several of their games down there and watching Eric Dickerson, and that was their heyday, you know, when them and the Niners used to go back and forth in that rivalry. And so, memories in the Coliseum, but not from when I was real young, but when I was, following the Rams because my dad was coaching there.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.